What is your all-time favorite hymn? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to vote for your favorite hymn. Send an email with your vote to hymnvote@issuesetc.org, and during the week of August 9th, we'll study the top five hymns chosen by Issues Etc. listeners. Voting ends July 25th. Vote today for your favorite hymn, hymnvote@issuesetc.org. A hymn for any time of the church year is fine. hymnvote@issuesetc.org.
Before I get started, it's been just a little over a year since Sheila has taken into the pulpit and stood with her father, and I can truly say this has been one of the most blessed years of my life, serving under this wonderful, wonderful leader. This church has a fantastic future thanks to her leadership, so I'm very excited about it.
That's Jim Penner. He is one of the pastors, CEO, and executive producer of The Hour of Power that is brought every week to so many television screens around the world from the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, where Dr. Robert Schuller has held forth for many decades. Well, he has handed the reins of leadership, at least pastoral leadership, to his daughter, Sheila Schuller. And joining us to talk about that is Chris Roseborough. He has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California, and he's host of the daily internet radio program called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on.
What does this mean in two senses? What does it mean that Dr. Schuller is handing this off to his daughter, and what does it mean that it's his daughter who will now be pastorally leading the Crystal Cathedral?
Well, in all bluntness, this is kind of the consummation of Robert Schuller's theology and doctrine that has drifted from the historic Christian faith's teaching, and his bringing his daughter in as a preaching pastor is well contrary to the clear teachings of the Word of God, and just shows you, I think, kind of in an accelerated way, what happens when churches get off the rails biblically.
What do we know about Sheila Schuller, who is taking the pastoral leadership there?
Well, she's got a tough road to hoe. I mean, she has earned her own degrees in her own right. It's not like she hasn't studied, but she definitely follows in her father's footsteps and tries to keep that positive, upbeat, self-esteem building message that is the Schuller brand alive, even more so than her brother did, and I think that's one of the reasons why she's more welcome in the pulpit than the previous Schuller sibling or child who vacated the pulpit about a year and a half ago.
Is this in a sense, Chris, something of a signaled shift, if you will, that for the first time, to my knowledge, a prominent, nationally prominent megachurch is now being led, not simply served by in some other capacity, but led by a female pastor?
Yeah, I think it is. And, normally we see female pastors, prominent female pastors, in the mainline denominations or in the Word Faith churches. This congregation, the Crystal Cathedral, was considered to be kind of more mainstream evangelical, even though its message was more positive and upbeat. And for many years, it was a flagship congregation that was teaching other pastors how to be seeker-driven before it really took off the way it did. In fact, Schuller was one of the early pioneers in this, and I think if they had a female pastor on staff at the time, many of the pastors who learned from Schuller how to do what they do in church wouldn't have taken him seriously. So I think this represents kind of a watershed moment in what would be considered a mainstream evangelical Protestant-ish church.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about the changing of the guard at the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. It's Thursday afternoon, July the 15th. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back from this break, we'll talk more about the Crystal Cathedral, its new leadership, and its old leadership. There is, with the changing of the guard, opportunity to reflect upon the impact that Dr. Robert Schuller has had on the theology of American Christians. And, of course, there is the inescapable connection with what is now, I imagine, perhaps kind of a waning influence as well in the likes of Rick Warren, Willow Creek, Saddleback, all those other influential megachurches that may be not as influential as they used to be. But it is very difficult to deny the connection between the theology of Robert Schuller and what the second generation of influential megapastors have brought to us. We'll talk about that after this. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Hi, this is Ville calling from Finland. I believe the day will come when you cannot enter the office as a pastor in the ELCA unless you subscribe to the ordination of gays and lesbians. And why do I believe that? Because Americans are sinners like we Finns are.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are, issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Chris Roseborough is our guest, and we're talking about the changing of the guard at the Crystal Cathedral. I mean, I remember growing up, and it was Sunday morning, I believe. If you got up early enough, you could turn on the Hour of Power. It was just something that was on television while you're getting ready for church. And it was Robert Schuller in his Geneva gown, and he was holding forth. It was a positive message. He was kind of high on life and high on us, and we were all happy to hear it. And some might say, an innocuous message from an innocuous place. I wonder if that's true. One other question before we go on to the theology, the Schuller theology, if you will, because I think we can apply it not only to Dr. Robert Schuller, but also to the daughter who's taken over leadership there at Crystal Cathedral. And that is, with the shift to a female pastor at the Crystal Cathedral, would it surprise you at all in the future to see some of these other more or less influential megachurches in the United States, Willow Creek, Saddleback, others are out there of smaller stature, someday be led by a lead female pastor?
Well, let's take them one at a time. Willow Creek, Bill Hybels is already on the record as basically chastising guys like Mark Driscoll for emphasizing a male pastorship. And so it's pretty clear where Bill Hybels stands on that issue. And as for Rick Warren, I don't think he can politically survive having a female pastor, preaching pastor at Saddleback. And so that's just the reality within the Southern Baptist Convention at the time. However, in the future, maybe sometime after Rick Warren retires and Saddleback continues drifting the way it's drifting, I can foresee maybe in the next 20 or 30 years a female pastor at Saddleback, but not anytime soon.
So nothing theologically is holding these institutions back from abandoning an all-male clergy, which is the historic position of Christianity and of Scripture.
No, that's the thing is that doctrinal convictions have been so severely watered down by the methodologies these guys have employed that they've created a bunch of people who really have a very shallow and limited understanding of Scripture, that they don't understand biblically the case against female pastors and why that would be so detrimental to them. Instead, they make so many decisions based upon what the culture is calling for, and their biblical understanding is so shallow, they don't see that the two are in conflict.
How would you describe and analyze the Crystal Cathedral, Hour of Power, Schuller theology?
Focused. It's a great theology if you are a lover of yourself, and that's probably the best way to put it. Robert Schuller has over and again made it very clear that he refuses to talk about the biblical category of sin and God's wrath, and instead feels that the most important thing that he can be doing is preaching a positive message that makes people feel like they're loved by God in such a way that they don't feel condemned and basically he denies the Calvinistic doctrine, which is supposedly the underpinning of his denomination.
I mean, we talked to him several years ago on this program, and he said, I don't want to leave. That's my foundation. When we talked about sin and grace, he says, those are my roots, mm-hmm. my foundation. But he tried to make an argument that culturally, if you talk sin, you're going to turn people off. And if you talk about God's wrath or judgment or any of those things, you're going to turn people away. He even chastised me. Personally, he was mm-hmm. nice about it, but he chastised me for, even thinking about getting into any pulpit and talking about that. What's at work here? I mean, what's the underpinning of this? And it's a kind of well-developed, as you said, me theology.
Well, it truly is an abandoning of the Christian faith, and it's really kind of a liberalizing tendency. And at the same time, they know that politically they can't become completely come out in public and put their theological cards on the table, and so they speak highly of the Scripture while at the same time undermining. It's classic double-mindedness and double-speak that the Scripture warns about. I think Mike Horton has a great quote that kind of pertains here. Michael Horton once said that where God's wrath is no longer a problem, Christ's cross is no longer the solution. And so what you're basically dealing with here is kind of a tacit unbelief about what the Scripture says about itself and how God makes Christians. God makes Christians through his means of grace, through the preaching of the gospel and the good news, and through baptism. And so what happens is these guys, they ultimately don't believe what the Scripture says in these regards, and as a result of it, they want to help God out. And the way you help God out is to make the message more appealing to the masses. And when somebody makes that decision, they've already abandoned the gospel and watered it down, and they're already long out the door as far as the Orthodox Christian faith is concerned.
Chris, what's wrong with a cult of personality, for lack of a better word, in pop American Christianity, as we see kind of an institution and literally a building built around a man like Robert Schuller? Do you think that the Crystal Cathedral and the Hour of Power can survive and thrive without Robert Schuller Sr.?
No, I don't think it can. And I think as the years tarry and Dr. Schuller becomes longer in the tooth and ultimately goes to stand before the Lord, I don't see how the Crystal Cathedral can remain relevant, because he tied himself to relevancy, and now he's actually reaping the whirlwind in a particular way, because relevancy is a very fickle lover. She'll leave you high and dry after making you feel like the world. And that's what's happening there. I mean, their brand is falling apart. And the thing is that Christianity is not a cult of personality when it comes to pastors, Christianity is a cult of personality when it comes to the one, Jesus Christ. And he is the author and perfecter of our faith and the object of our faith. And if a pastor has basically built a brand for himself around his teaching and his ideas, he's distracting you away from Christ. And we shouldn't be seeing cults of personality in the pulpit. We should be seeing somebody standing there in the stead and by the command of Christ doing the things that Christ has commanded him to do.
Chris, we mentioned before Rick Warren and Saddleback. Would there be a Saddleback phenomenon, and it has been something of a phenomenon in the last 10 years, would there be that phenomenon in its form that it came to us without Robert Schuller?
That is a great question. Robert Schuller truly was an early pioneer in the seeker-driven methodologies. However, he was not the only one. C. Peter Wagner comes to mind and a couple of others. I don't think it would, maybe it wouldn't have grown as rapidly as it did, because Robert Schuller really put this into practice and made it the central part of how he did what he did and made a point of teaching other pastors, whereas C. Peter Wagner and others were more along the lines of academics who were also tinkering with these ideas. So I don't think it would have, I don't think we'd be where we are in the church today if it wasn't for Robert Schuller. He really popularized these ideas and brought them to mass market in ways that other guys I don't think could have.
Will it be remembered by historians of an Orthodox persuasion, if you will, Chris, as one of the heresies of our age?
Absolutely. We're already beginning to see the logical conclusions of this theology. And what we're seeing happening in our time is the creation of a new kind of liberalism that will be similar to, run its course, very similar to the way mainline liberalism ran its course during the 20th century. We're seeing that happening right now. In fact, a historical parallel puts us back in the 1920s. And 50, 60 years from now, we'll be talking about the liberal seeker-driven churches as, you know, some kind of a block, the way we talk about mainline liberal denominations.
Chris Roseborough has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California. He's host of the daily internet radio program called Fighting for the Faith. You can tune into his show immediately after the broadcast of Issues Etc. at piratechristianradio.com, piratechristianradio.com. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, when we come back, actually, one of Chris's mentors and teachers, who's been with us for the last several days of the program in a daily series on Christ alone, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, will be our guest of the White Horse Inn. He's professor of theology at Concordia University, California. We're going to be talking about the offense of Christ alone. Even St. Paul recognizes very early on that the message he carries into the world is going to cause a necessary offense. Well, what of the apostles? Who among the apostles could have missed it? The earliest apostles spend the better part of their weeks in prison, and yet they refused to be silent about the message of Christ alone. And there is Peter standing up saying there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. And it caused offense. Guess what? Still does. Still does. We'll be talking about the offense of Christ alone with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt for the last half hour of Issues Etc. Our call-in number, I do encourage your questions and your comments as we come to you live this Thursday afternoon, July the 15th, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. This is the fourth in our fifth part on Christ alone, so that means if you have questions or comments for Dr. Rosenblatt on Christ alone, it's a good time to call, email us, or send us a tweet with that question or that comment. 1-877-623-MYIE, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Rod Rosenblatt, next.
Are you looking for a church where you can receive the gifts of God in the gospel and the sacraments and in the church's historic worship with lively music? Then come to Hope Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. We're located on the corner of Brannan and Neosho Streets at 5218 Neosho. You can also reach us on the World Wide Web at www.hopelutheranstl.org and give us a call at 314-352-0014. There is hope in St. Louis.
What is your all-time favorite hymn? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin inviting you to vote for your favorite hymn. Send an email with your vote to hymnvote@issuesetc.org, and during the week of August 9th, we'll study the top five hymns chosen by Issues Etc. listeners. Voting ends July 25th. Vote today for your favorite hymn, hymnvote@issuesetc.org. A hymn for any time of the church year is fine. hymnvote@issuesetc.org.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is abortion harmful to women?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A study recently published in the Canadian Journal of Psychology indicates an association between abortion and mental disorders and substance abuse. The study, based on 3,300 American women, indicated that 25% of the women who had an abortion also abused drugs or alcohol. In contrast, only 7% of the women who've never had an abortion reported such abuse. Likewise, women who've had an abortion suffered from anxiety, mood disorders, and depression at significantly higher than normal rates. Women considering abortion should know of the risks to their physical and mental health.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.